So I'm super excited. Dave from Sterling Sky, the VP over there, is coming to my office to talk local SEO and a bunch of cool stuff around the business. It's Joy Hawkins. Business has grown tremendously, and Dave was a very big part of that. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that and some local SEO stuff. And this is my office. As you know, you see it all the time, but I'm going to be doing this in the conference room, which I've done a couple of interviews in. The reason I'm doing it in the conference room is because Dave is also an expert on trading cards. So I tweeted, a little bit back ago about how I was scanning in some of my old Michael Jordan cards, and one card was worth $30,000, $40,000 or $300. I wasn't sure. So people tagged him and said he's the expert. And I have all these, so I brought my Michael Jordan cards to my office and I set them up. I have about 130 or so of them. I don't know if you can see them, where he's going to look at them while we talk about SEO. So it should be fun to combine those two hobbies and see what happens. I haven't looked at these cards literally in probably 30 years. So I broke them all out and I brought the binders and so forth. So hopefully they'll be worth something, but either way, it'll be fun chat. Hope you enjoy it and speak to you guys soon. Dave, thank you, Dave, for coming out here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Dave is really well known for his local SEO skills, right? But you're probably well known for your card.
Yeah. In a separate Twitter world, actually, I have my own outside of my usual Twitter. I have my own actual separate card Twitter. 3,000-4,000 followers. More than I actually have on the SEO Twitter. So daytime during work, it's SEO, and at night I flip over to the sports card Twitter, actually. So it's quite interesting.
All right, so you've been doing SEO for a while, but before SEO you were in a professional auctioneer or some sort.
Yeah, so interesting path. Went to school for business, didn't really find my footing at all. And then a job popped up about sports cards. I was like, oh, well, that brings me back to my childhood. That's kind of cool. And then can I make money doing this? And I was like, yeah. So I got this job. And it was awesome. Worked in Somerset, New Jersey. It was an auction house called Just Collect. Anything from sports cards to memorabilia to autographs. And so that's really, and I didn't know SEO going into that, but the things I was asked to do were SEO things. We're going to write a blog post and once this blog post goes live, we're going to call the newspaper and ask them to talk about online. And I didn't know that was outreach. I didn't know that was linked. I had no idea. So it was kind of cool that I kind of hopped into SEO first. And then
this was in 2008, 2009.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did that for a few years. And then I really started liking the internet part of it. We hooked up analytics to the website. I was like, oh, this is pretty interesting. Just going through the, and then my friend worked at where I got my first job in SEO. And so I asked him what do you do? How do you do things? How do we make our website better? Because we want to, because we made money by people searching, how do I sell my cards? Right. So if you found your Jordan collection and you said, how do I sell, if you Googled that, we want to be on page one because we wanted to buy it from you. And we couldn't get there. And so I learned SEO through a friend, really ended up loving it. And then they had a job open there. And that's where it's kind of backdoored into it, really.
A lot of the early people in SEO, that's the way they stumbled on it.
Yeah.
It was they worked for somebody, they asked them, how do I get some traffic to it? Or do this, do that. It was just, I love that. I love hearing from people, that's how they got into this stuff. The way it should be, I guess, as opposed to going to school and being trained for SEO, which I guess people are being trained
for. I guess now you can. But what was cool is, because SEO is a good discipline to have, and lots of people have a side hustle with it, because I learned that skill, they still want me to work for them on the side. Right. So I was cool. I could still have my full-time job and be in cards on nights of the weekends and help them out. So it was really cool. That's how I got into it. But never any intention. Right. Just wanted to get more people to our website and didn't know what SEO, it was super interesting.
And then you decided to leave that and go to work for a real agency, an SEO agency?
So the SEO agency was Martindale, which is legal focused. Did that for a few years and actually bounced around. I have a hard time making decisions sometimes on what I liked because I liked the cards so much, but I liked the stableness of the corporate job.
Right.
So I quit the Just Collect to go back to Martindale. So I went back and forth Pogus's four times. So I quit on each person twice. And I finally was And then an opportunity came up with Joy, and I shot for that, which was good. So,
so you must be great to work with.
Yeah.
You can't say otherwise. You work for her, but you're pretty high up there, right?
Yeah. So I'm a VP on the team. So it's kind of Joy at the top, and then we have VPs, myself and Colin, just dividing out on the two sides of the business. He's more on the strategic marketing side. I'm more on the operation personnel side.
Okay.
So I manage 95% of the employees.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
well, I'm a big operations guy. I think it's, I mean, especially at the growth you guys have been growing, like you've been growing fast.
Yeah.
You're not like a massive company, but you're 20 something people, right?
37.
37.
Yeah. But it's every 3 months. It's like we're looking for another person.
So it's all about processes to make sure everything's in place.
And that's on me, right? So I have to, like, Joy literally gave me the reins. So like she doesn't know who I'm hiring. She doesn't know who I'm interviewing. It's I got to do all the stuff myself. I have an assistant. People can help me out. But that's the important thing is because it's this kind of unicorn, this tight-knit family style SEO company, we actually look for not the most skilled person, actually. We're looking for like the actual best person, which is like a weird thing.
You say it's more about the culture?
Yeah, 100%, right? But when you think about, like, if you talk about Joy or Colin, you think about, oh, these are, like, industry experts, so we must be hiring all the industry experts. But it's like, but we have 30 other people who contribute to things who are awesome, right? Because it's a trainable skill, and as long as you have a passion for it. My basic guidelines are, like, if you're just a good person, morally, and, like, you want to work hard, like, let's get it done.
I hear that. It's funny, because when we used to hire, we used to all be in this physical office, which is now completely empty, as I took you through it.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who shows up in the office. For me, I felt like culture was more important than the actual skills. We're to do development, not SEO. But I want to make sure everybody got along and they had the same passion about building stuff that people would think are unbuildable. Like, our philosophy here was like, we can build anything. And if somebody would say, I can't do that, I'd be like, you're not here anymore, goodbye. Not that way, but it's
been
But now that we're more all remote since like COVID, it's still important, but I don't know how much. I mean, obviously, your company's always been a remote company.
Yeah, from the beginning.
So you think culture is that important, even though
you're... Yeah, and so that's some of the qualities we look for. And so it's going to sound weird, but like the best people who have performed for us and like longevity and are like buy in are people who have been working for a long time and have had crappy jobs. And they appreciate the non-micromanagement, the you get your stuff done, the flexibility. They get taught things. They have a path to grow. And why not? Rather, we don't require much. We require, you know, a few hours a day at your home. We'll buy you all your equipment. Just get your stuff. I don't care what time you get up. I don't care what time you close down. Just
It's funny. Yeah. It's a similar situation for my company, which is gives me into a nice tangent to the Cards. When the Chicago Bulls had to hire or wanted to hire Rodman to fit into that team. That's a hard thing. That culture, that guy, and the Bulls had this hard, beyond with Michael Jordan, this hard work ethic.
Yeah,
and you had this guy, Rodman come in, whatever he wanted to do, they let him kind of do.
Yeah, did you watch that? Did you watch the documentary?
I saw the documentary.
Yeah, and there's so much stuff I didn't know about Rodman.
Right,
but like just like he would go off.
Right.
Like, and like, just let him go.
And the Scottie Pippen wanted to do this.
Yeah.
I thought Scottie Pippen was more like the Jordan atmosphere, right? But I guess.
But.
He had the, that coach had the, I think I have a coach, not here.
There was a dual, I think I had a dual coach card. You definitely had one that had two coaches on it, didn't you?
I'm not in this pile. I have like a whole Chicago Bulls in the binder.
Nice.
From that, in this era. But the coach cards are probably worth nothing.
They're not going to be really worth
it. You can look at these and actually tell me what's good and what's not.
Yeah, so
stand out.
So what is important here is, and we'll try to relate it to maybe employees, but what's important here is scarcity and condition, right? And so just like, you're trying to find the best employee, someone who's got skills, who can adapt and grow, that would be like scarcity because there's not a ton of them, right? But like something like this card, right, which is from NBA Hoops. It's in a case, and again, not your fault, right? As we were kids, we just threw stuff at the cases, but there's no sleeve on the case. There's a few bent corners on the back. So even if this was scarce, the condition is not great. So that brings down the value. But this was probably produced a million times,
right?
And so unfortunately this era usually, right, from like the 85 to 95, we call it like the junk wax era because they just printed millions and millions and millions. Yeah. But the good thing about Jordan or people from that era, there's a few select people, Griffey, Jordan, Jeter, whose cards, insert cards, are worth more money. So like this looks like an insert here. Like it's not like the main version of the card, right? Something like this, where it's like the set is Fleer Ultra, but it's an inside out, which is like the set.
Some of these cards were worth a lot of Beckett. Yep. Remember Beckett?
Yeah. So finest, yeah. This is a good card too, right? And now what we learn 30 years later though is keeping cards in this thick. This is first of all to get a case like this was like what you had to do when you were a kid. Like you right. like you like this determined Sorry. Your special cards, right? But we learned now that because grading came into effect now where you take your card, you submit them to a company, right. and they tell you like out of on a 10-point scale, how good is this card?
Right.
Because if you want to sell it to somebody on the internet, right. you say, oh, it's a perfect 10. Well, how do I know?
Right.
I don't know if you're lying or not, right? So what we learned was after you unscrew these aren't great because they smush the card down, unless they were recessed, which I don't know if it was. But usually a lot with like the more vintage ones, like ones that might be from the 50s that have been in the case for 50 years. But they actually kind of push the card down and right. it actually doesn't grade because it's too big now and it affects it, right? So it's like funny, like if I
shouldn't take them out. I should leave them until they get graded at this point.
Well, we're going to take them out later and I'm going to put them in new cases for you.
Oh, really?
And then we can set them in and get graded, yeah. So I brought other cases that we could use. But this is like literally how we had all of our best cards. Like there was even ones that were like this thick. Like there was like right. super thick ones. And now we found out that that's actually not good. But yeah, so it's interesting that there are a few select cards that are, but like that's where it's moved to now is condition. Like it has to be mint, or else nobody wants it.
Anymore. Right.
And it's like, why though? Well, because everyone's trying to flip it to make money.
Right. It's yeah. funny. I use Google Lens, which is an amazing product, and I took like a picture of some of these.
Yeah.
And one was like, yeah, this is worth $30,000, and one was like, oh, the same card's worth like $400.
Yeah. So that's a problem because right. it's grading, but also. The problem with eBay is I can put this card up for whatever price I want. Right. And that's what Google Lens is going to see. It's going to see the current price. So there's a trick to on eBay actually look at sold listings right. And go through it. And like you want to average out the last 3 to 5 to actually figure out the price. So
we're talking about packs and stuff. I think you have a surprise later. But let's talk a little bit. Recently, this video probably won't come out for a while. But recently we noticed like the local packs kind of started to disappear, becoming more
rare. Yeah, yeah.
What's going on with
that? So...